back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to be joined very shortly by my guest, Pastor Jonathan Shelley. We're going to be talking about the end times. Are we in them? I don't think so. We'll find out how this eschatology plays into the current war, as we have currently official memos going out to the U.S. Army, U.S. military overall, saying, you know, tell your soldiers that, you know, if they're concerned about deploying to the Middle East, let them know that it's just because Jesus needs us to start the apocalypse, okay? That'll really bolster their spirits. And the Army officers are going, what are you talking about? I signed up to defend and protect America and our interests, not try to kickstart building the third temple and ushering in the Antichrist. Excuse me? And again, we need to combat this using all of the wonderful tools provided to us by our founding fathers, who explicitly wrote down that we are not supposed to have religious, you know, denominations dictating our government policy at all, let alone our military policy. So we'll discuss all of that. But I want to once again pat ourselves on the shoulder and do a little flashback here to October 2023. This was like a week after the October 7th attack. I'm happy now that so many people over 2 years have started to look into America's relationship with Israel and discovered that it is not, it's not only not mutually beneficial, it's, you know, deeply antagonistic. It's just, you'd all would have learned this years beforehand if you'd only been tuned in to InfoWars, Tomorrow's News Today. Here's me in October of 2023 saying what a lot of people are just now beginning to understand. Let's watch. What has come about as a result of this hospital bombing? Well, massive anti-American protests, anti-Israel protests all across the Middle East, Europe, and here in America. I remind you once again that America pays for the crimes of Israel. When Israel commits crimes against innocents, it's America that receives the blame. It's you and I. It's the American people. It's our flag, our culture, our country itself receives the enmity, the ire, the hatred of millions and millions and millions of people who feel like, for very good reason, we are responsible for allowing Israel to kill civilians by the hundreds and pay no price for it. And be protected from paying a price for it by us. So I think it's time we declare independence from Israel. I think it's time that we actually be the nation we are, which is the most powerful nation in the history of the world. It's a nation who can achieve anything if it puts its mind to it, that can solve any problem. We still are incredibly wealthy, incredibly capable. Our people are the best in the world at basically everything that we do. There's a reason we landed on the moon first. There's a reason that our culture dominates the globe. There's a reason that our industry created everything from automobiles to personal computers. There's a reason that America is exceptional. It's our people, it's our qualities, it's our beliefs, it's our founding, it's our liberty and freedom and individuality. These things still exist, and it's time for America to use this power that we have, to use the greatness of our nation, to bring about peace and not be the lapdog of warmongering psychopaths on a blood feud revenge mission. I'm just saying, y'all, we'd been listened to early on. Israel wouldn't have made the mistake. Israel wouldn't have made the mistake of bombing the hell out of Gaza for 2 years straight. Because at this point, like, I'll admit, it's hard for me not to be happy that Tel Aviv is getting hit like it is now, because we've had to watch for 2 years as the Israelis celebrated and mocked. Remember, they would make videos where they dress up as Palestinians and like be pretending to cry with like dead baby dolls. And it's like, you know, some of the people that made those videos are probably now trapped under rubble in Tel Aviv. Only the difference between me and my ideological enemies is that I don't celebrate the death of noncombatants. I don't get joy out of the death of people, even if they hate me. So, like, this is all just awful, and we should just do everything we possibly can to bring an end to it as soon as humanly possible, because it only gets worse from here. Just understand, it only gets worse.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
Mantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm very happy to be joined by my guest, Pastor Jonathan Shelley. He is a pastor with seven children. He runs the Steadfast Baptist Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's the host of the Baptist Bias podcast. He's produced books called The Sodomite Deception and The Preserved Bible. He, of course, because of his work as a Christian pastor, has been banned from banks, social media. He's been evicted, sued, and protested. And he's not the best friends of the ADL and the enemy of my enemy, folks. BaptistBias.com is his website. You can also go to CBCKJV.com. SBCKJV.com. That's SBCKJV.com. Got it right that time. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Jonathan Shelley.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And one other thing, the Sodomite Deception and the Baptist, the Sodomite Deception is a movie. Oh. And, But I really appreciate you bringing me on the show. And it's kind of funny. We always think of like SBC KJV as in King James Version. So the way you did that was interesting. But thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm excited about this topic. Iran and Israel is always just a hot topic, literally and obviously spiritually. So, I'm pretty excited to just discuss anything and everything we want to say.
Well, let me start off by saying, typically, when it comes to like discussions of the Middle East, I kind of hate when anybody references the Bible. Like, I look at it just purely politically. I go, they want this, these people want this. And then I'm talking to somebody and they go, well, the prophecy says this, this, this. And it's like, look, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I'm concerned with, what I can see, what I can feel, like how I can handle it. However, when you look into the people that are putting this war on, they clearly are motivated by a sort of end times, apocalyptic, prophecy-driven, cult mentality. So it's not like something you can just ignore. This is motivating people. This is having a tangible impact on what's happening on the ground. What is your view on is the term eschatology, right? Is it the study of the end times? What is your concept of how the current conflict plays into the end times or how it's being used? What do you think the truth is?
Yeah, I can get being jaded on eschatological views because there's so many bad ones out there. And of course, the Bible says that there's many false prophets in the world. So there's obviously a lot of different opinions. But when we talk about the end times, obviously the Bible alludes to a kind of a seven-period year judgment that we would call as the end times, Daniel's 70th week. This is what a lot of people that are premillennial would subscribe to. And we're just talking about the return of Jesus Christ, essentially. Do you believe that's literally going to happen? Do you believe it's metaphorical? And of course, I believe the Bible is literal and that Jesus Christ will literally return. But the Bible tells us there's going to be events that happen before this and that there's going to be an antichrist and there's going to be horrible plagues and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, essentially, which we see as the seals. I have on my website a chart that essentially outlines the book of Revelation. Again, to reveal something is to make it manifest. And so, of course, we have the book of Revelation telling us the sequence of events. Now, when that's actually going to happen, we're not sure. I'm sure a lot of people thought this might have happened with the rise of the Nazi party and the wars in Europe and World War II, and we see all this conflict. Of course, a lot of people now speculate World War III will be this particular catalyst. And of course, you have a lot of people now trying to say like, oh, we're already in this event, or oh, this already is Armageddon, or oh, these are events are playing out right now. But if you actually read the biblical narrative, you see things like locusts coming out from hell. You see stars falling from the sky, comets, mass plagues, just total destruction. This has not happened yet. Could it happen in the near future? Maybe. But it's definitely not upon us now. It's not happening as we see it right now. With Elon Musk building Starlink, you see a global currency. You see no cash society ideas. You see Neuralink. Yeah, it looks like a lot of infrastructure is being built for this main event. But it's frustrating to hear people say it's upon us as we see it.
Right. And that's the interesting thing, because while I tend not to put too much credence in like the prophecy when it comes to geopolitical analysis, I am a Christian. I do believe in the book of Revelation. And one of the startling things about it is that there are passages in the book of Revelation that's like, how did people even understand this before the modern world? Now that we have technology reading it, it's like, okay, it sounds like the guy's describing a jet holding a bombing campaign, you know, but it's as if somebody from 1,000 years ago got a vision for 10 seconds of the modern world and went, oh my God, I have to write this down and try to figure out how to express this to people. So I do, like, I believe in prophecy. I just don't believe that like God needs our help to fulfill it or anything like that. But yeah, when you talk about the mark of the beast, I mean, these things are very much seemingly aligned. However, as a fan of history, I'm also aware of the people in the 1600s that would like commit mass suicide. They were so convinced they were in the end time. So I'm also always very like, you know, nervous about going, this is it, we're in the end times, because I know this is a common, you know, belief in humanity. They think there's no way it could get worse. And that was 500 years ago. So obviously it can always get worse. But how much does the AI, the mark of the beast, the technological prerequisites have to do with why people think that these are the end times?
Yeah, another event is like the French Revolution. And they started over with like a new calendar, and you can see all kinds of crazy events throughout history, and people kind of point to that. But obviously, at some point, being a Bible-believing Christian, we do believe it's going to happen. I think that COVID shots with these mass inoculations kind of set the stage to see a wide adoption of an infrastructure that's forced upon us globally. Yeah. I think with the cashless society, we see how a mark of the beast could be implemented. I think with globalization, we see how the purchasing systems, the POS systems, could be turned into this mark of the beast option, and no longer are people able to use actual cash. I think with the political instability in the United States, just crazy stuff. I mean, they almost killed Trump multiple times. We see nuclear weapons. We see mass censorship. We see mass spying. We see facial recognition technology. We see Musk saying that cars cannot flee the United States. If we were going to have a draft, he says that a Tesla cannot drive across the U.S. border. We see Starlink obviously being populated to where they're going to have a hive, and you could have technology and internet literally everywhere. A lot of these events are important because it's setting the stage, basically. And, you know, there's certain events like the two witnesses are going to lie dead in the streets, and the Bible says the whole world is going to be watching. How is that possible? It wasn't possible in the 1600s. But if you have Starlink internet where everybody with a smartphone, no matter where they are on the planet, can have a connection and see this, that could actually happen. We could actually have, with this global cashless society, a statement made, hey, you can't buy or sell unless you take the mark, and it be literally true. We can see with COVID shots being mass adopted by all these global countries, this global effort, okay, you have to go down your Walgreens and get, you know, the mark of the beast now or whatever it is. And again, of course, with the political unrest in the Middle East, that's always been happening. I don't think I've ever been, I think my entire life, there's always been political unrest in the Middle East specifically.
Right.
But when we see potentially, you know, the Dome of the Rock crumble, a new temple being built on there, I would say we're very close.
Right.
But, you know, until then, I think we just keep seeing the stage being set. Is it going to be 10 years, 50 years, 100 years? I don't know. I don't believe it's going to happen in the next 3-5 years. But, it just kind of depends. I mean, with the Republican Party being in shambles, who's going to ever win the Republican nomination ever again?
Right.
And, of course, nobody's really a Democrat. It's kind of a fake party. So, politically, I have no idea what this means for America for a presidency. Obviously, Donald Trump has all this pressure from the Epstein files. And when they're starting to get released, now all of a sudden we just bomb Iran randomly. It's like that's the connection. If you're looking for a connection, it's the Epstein files. It's not, oh, this is Bible prophecy. But as a Bible believing Christian, why in the world would I try to support the Antichrist or building the temple or bringing in the apocalypse, bringing right. in death, bringing in destruction? I'm not going to go and hold the bag for Judas as he puts the 30 pieces of silver in it. Like, that just doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. We understand scripture has to be fulfilled, but I don't have to be the one putting the nails in Jesus' hand on the cross. I don't have to be the Roman soldiers marching him up the hill and actually crucifying him. And that's kind of, to me, the same implication of trying to help the Antichrist or going into the Middle East and trying to kickstart anything. Christians should be caring about preaching the gospel and getting people saved and following God's commandments and raising their families. And, that's what we should be concerned with, not trying to assist the Antichrist and the apocalypse. I mean, the Bible says to occupy till he come. All right. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. The Bible makes it clear the Great Commission is to preach the gospel and to teach all nations and to baptize them. And so, it's silly that Christians are so excited about this kind of stuff. And frankly speaking, it's a mass slaughter of Christians in the end times.
Right.
Why are they so excited about that?
That is what is so weird to me, is this idea that Jesus needs our help and we have to start a nuclear conflict. Because my reading of it, you just pick up the Bible and start reading. It's not really, you can get deep with it, but you can just read it, and it's pretty obvious about what it's trying to tell you. And it seems to me like they're saying, things are going to get so bad that, Jesus has to come back. Like, it's kind of not a choice. Either the world is destroyed or Jesus has to come back. Sort of a last case scenario kind of thing. And I want to avoid that, at all possible. Like, you don't want to bring that forward. That just seems absurd to me that they want to start a war for Jesus, and specifically a nuclear war, because the way that they interpret it is like Damascus has to be nuked. And I've had on, I do a show on a coast with my friend Lebanon John. He was arguing with a caller who's an evangelical who's basically going, your family in Lebanon all has to be killed. They're all going to get turned to glass. And that's just what has to happen for God to work right. And it's just like, who told you this was Christian? How do you even think that this is Jesus wants you to bomb a bunch of little kids? It's nuts on the surface of it. So how do they have so many people dedicated to this idea? I mean, it seems ridiculous, but these people would die and kill over it. How did it get to that point?
Yeah, of course, there's been a lot of lies through the teachings of Zionism and dispensationalism, and there's a demonization of Muslims more than Jews. And, at the end of the day, from a biblical perspective, the Bible teaches who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. Probably the most Antichrist religion in the world is Judaism. Of course, Islam is a false religion as well. And it's not like Muslims aren't going to be headed to the same hell. But why would I want to bomb little children and women and Muslims? Like, we should be wanting to give them the gospel or leave them alone. Like, you don't have to just bomb people. You don't have to just kill people. And even if we want to just keep Israel around so that the Middle East isn't taken over by Muslims, okay, but we don't have to necessarily just bomb Iran and take over Gaza and just write blank checks to Israel and say, who do you want us to kill next? I mean, this is not Christian whatsoever. It's not in the Bible. It makes no sense. I don't see our country being blessed. People say if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. What are we blessed with? COVID? Are we blessed with inflation? Are we blessed with, feminism? Like, how is America even being blessed in the last 5, 10, 15 years? Have we been blessed with the LGBT, nonsense that's going on rampant in our country? Obviously, we see our country is degrading itself. There's more degeneracy than we've ever seen before. Of course, a lot of this false teaching for Zionism caused people to be racist and genuinely hate Muslims. And of course, that's not a Christian attitude either. Obviously, we should hate the enemies of the Lord, but I do not believe every Muslim is an enemy of the Lord. And, if given the chance, I would try to get them saved. You know, I have so many family members, friends, they're just like, just nuke the Middle East. Just nuke them or whatever. And it's just like such a wicked attitude. Really, yeah. The only nuke I see coming in the Bible is on Babylon, which is probably America. Honestly, the Bible teaches that all the nations of the world hate, like the 10 kings hate the whore and they hate Babylon and they send this like mighty destruction, all these arrows that basically just nuke it off of the planet. And in my estimation, that's probably America in Revelations chapter number 18 that's being described. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like, I don't even think there's going to be nukes ever set off in the Middle East personally. I think it's all scare tactics and justifications for regime change and whatever the CIA is trying to accomplish over in the Middle East. Probably more about oil, probably more about the dollar, probably more about the Epstein files, probably more about whatever, you know, scams and money laundering schemes that they have going on. It's not, this isn't like how God works. God doesn't work through war efforts and money laundering and all of these criminal war crime schemes in order to accomplish his will. Like he works through truth. He works through righteousness. You know, it's insane how Christians just think we should just be mass slaughtering people in the Middle East. But look, I have it in my family. I know many Christians that believe this kind of stuff. Nuke them all and we'll sort them out later. You know, this is an ungodly attitude. It's not Christian. It's not biblical. And frankly speaking, I don't even think it's necessarily going to happen.
Well, I don't think so either. And actually, that was my next question is what is going to happen? Because if there's one thing that is a sort of persistent, like, prerequisite for the end time stuff is that Israel has to be remade, right? And traditionally, and in like a lot of the sort of classical, more traditional Jewish sects, I mean, they hate Israel. They hate Zion because they think it was a human attempt to bring Jews back to Israel, and that in fact, when the Jews are called back to Israel, it'll be God, it'll be a divine thing, it'll be obvious to everybody what's happening. It's not up to them when to go back. I mean, this is a big division in Jewish, you know, tradition as well. But Israel existing was like a prerequisite, and it didn't exist before 1948. So any of the other, you know, end times cults before 1948, they didn't have this prerequisite fulfilled, which is a pretty big one. You know, applies to all of this. However, other times in the past where people have attempted to go back to rebuild Zion, you know, Sabbatai Zevi, right? People talk about the Sabbatean Frankists. Well, Sabbatai Zevi was leading a big Zionist march to Israel. He stopped in, you know, the Ottoman place. But there's always a disaster. There's always a big, you know, catastrophe that stops the rebuilding of the temple. So it's like if these people are trying to manipulate prophecy to their own end, it's not going to work out well for them. Like, you can't trick God into this. I always get the image of, like, you know, God has prophecies where things are supposed to be fulfilled, and then you've got the people like kind of forcing it, like painting a heifer red, you know, or like, you know, genetically yeah. altering them so that they make red heifers. It's like, no, he's describing a miracle, not giving you instructions on things to fulfill. It may have been a little convoluted question, but, you know, the appearance now.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
The advent of Israel has changed things.
Ishmael is basically that attempt. Abraham was supposed to have a son. Instead of waiting for Isaac, he just forces it with Hagar and has Ishmael. And a lot of people are trying to force the end times by their own hand here, and it's not going to work. You can't force God to do anything. They tried to eliminate Jesus. Didn't work. Of course, he rose again from the dead, conquering the grave. As far as what's going to happen, the Bible talks about mass world war. The Bible talks about someone being crowned as the Antichrist and is going to go forth to war. I do believe that the end times will probably be against Islam, and Islam will be punished for having not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so most likely it'll be an American leader that's crowned the Antichrist. He's going to march through Europe, and he's going to basically decimate all of Europe with all the Muslims that have basically invaded that large section of the world. Then he's going to eventually get his campaign finished in the Middle East, probably conquer all of Islam, and then he's going to declare himself God. After he's conquered Islam and declared himself God in the temple, he's going to declare everybody to get a mark in their right hand or in their forehead and to worship him as God. He's going to sit in the temple of God, declaring himself that he is God, and it's the ultimate blasphemy. The Bible teaches that someone will stab him in the right eye and he'll die, come back to life 3 days later, but it'll really be the Satan himself dwelling in his body. And at that point, there's going to be great tribulation. At that point, he is going to essentially make war with the saints, is what the Bible says. Because if you think about it, if Islam doesn't exist, if Europe has been eradicated from Islam, what conflict really is there anymore? And especially if Russia and China had sided with Islam and failed, then at that point, the world is conquered. There could be peace. But the only problem is Christians are not going to bow to the Antichrist. Christians are not going to accept. So they're basically the last enemy for the Antichrist. And there's going to be a great tribulation period where they're slaughtered in mass until Christ comes in the clouds and essentially raptures the entire saved population that still remains. And then God's going to pour out his wrath for the remaining portion of that 7-year period on the unbelievers, on the Antichrist, on his kingdom, locusts from hell, all kinds of just crazy, wrathful things are going to happen. And then you're eventually going to have your battle of Armageddon. Really, you're going to have two witnesses in Jerusalem specifically that they're probably going to blame all this on. But eventually they'll kill them. You'll have Babylon nuked. You'll have the battle of Armageddon. And that's when Christ literally returns to the earth physically to rule and reign for 1,000 years with those who are saved. So, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing is just to be saved. For Muslims to get saved, for Jews to get saved, for Americans to get saved, and to stop supporting this Antichrist agenda, to be prepared. Many Christians are pre-trib. They think that they're not going to go through this 7-year period. They don't think that there's going to be this war. They don't think the reason why they're trying to usher this in, Harrison, is because they believe they get raptured as soon as they usher it in. They think it's an ejection seat button. They don't realize that if they usher this in, it's going to be them partaking in this tribulation, partaking in this great slaughter. And so that's why it's kind of a fool's errand to assist the devil. The devil is a liar. There's no truth in him. You know, the synagogue of Satan isn't going to help you. You know, you don't make a deal with the devil and it works out. Judas did that. And then once he realized he was condemned, went and hanged himself. When he tried to give the money back to the Pharisees, they said, you know, he's like, hey, I've screwed up. And they're like, see thou to it. What is that to us? Like, they're basically like, who cares? We don't care about you. The devil doesn't care about you. The false religion doesn't care about you. The only person that does care about you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's why he does return at some point, because the Bible says this slaughter is going to be so bad that if Jesus allowed it to play out, the devil would have his will and kill everyone. I mean, the devil wants to kill every single person, and he's going to try and do that through the Antichrist. Another interesting prophecy, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 12, a great flood where the devil's going to basically try to flood the entire earth. And this is interesting with the rainbow, because the rainbow is promised to not flood the entire earth. And of course, that's the symbol of the most Antichrist group of people, the LGBT. But, you know, the Bible says it's going to fail. And it's just kind of interesting, you know, all these different proclamations of climate change that they've kind of haven't talked about lately. But I'd be interested if they nuke all the polar ice caps in an effort to try and flood the world, they would fail. But I don't know. Have you heard anything about the possibility of another global flood?
No, but I know they're, you know, not slowing down on their ill-guided attempts to like block out the sun and do all sorts of crazy geoengineering. I actually have stories on that I was going to cover today. So, I mean, it all ties in together. And this is the amazing thing about, like, I don't even understand how you can be an atheist when the Bible exists and when the world that we live in today is this bizarre synthesis between the first book of the Bible in Genesis, where the serpent says, follow me and you will live forever. And we're on the cusp of, you know, age reversing technology and, you know, technical immortality, while it combines with the last book of the Bible and Revelations and all of these things that are very obviously being fulfilled in one way or another. We're going to get to like where we are on the timeline exactly on the other side of a short commercial break. Stay with us. Pastor Jonathan Shelley, BaptistBias.com, SBCKJV.com. We'll be right back. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, fan.video. Share that link, and we'll be right back.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigland. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexShowStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at galaxystore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support thealexystore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win, man. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We have some late breaking news, unconfirmed so far, but Israeli media is reporting unconfirmed reports that Itamar Ben-Gvir has been involved in a car crash. He's actually been killed by an Iranian missile strike on his home, and we've seen missile strikes by Iran against the leadership of Israel. Sort of reminds me of this story. The NYPD mourns the loss of a police officer, Sorfli Davies, who passed away yesterday as a result of a medical episode while deployed to Kuwait. Yeah, I have some questions. Was the medical episode perhaps brought about by a missile exploding in his vicinity? I don't know, but it's suspicious to me. And it seems like one factor of this war is the fact that they're lying about the casualties and lying about the cause of death, the people who are died as a result of the conflict. So, again, unconfirmed, but I'd been hearing rumors that Ben-Gvir had been taken out, and it appears as though those are being spread by Israeli media and may be real. So, a little update for you there as we continue to monitor the situation that's changing by the minute. My guest is Pastor Jonathan Shelley. He is the pastor of the Steadfast Baptist Church. He's produced the movie Sodomite Deception. You can find his website at baptistbias.com or sbckjv.com. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Shelley, for actually standing up for the Christian worldview. It's long overdue that pastors in the Christian church in America speak out about this stuff and not stay in the shadows, but actually take on what's going on in the world. Why do you think it's so rare for Christian pastors to actually take like hardcore, meaningful stances about world events these days?
I think I would be living proof of the reason why, because number one, you become a glossary term on the ADL website. Number two, you get protested for years. I've been evicted, sued. I can't bank at Bank of America. I can't use PayPal. I lost all of the YouTube accounts I had multiple times. I became a terrorist on Facebook. I couldn't have a Facebook account. I can't have an Airbnb account. I can't use pretty much every single email provider, MailChimp. I can't use any payment processor. When it came to credit card processing specifically, we're not allowed to use any credit card processing whatsoever. And again, this is just simply for preaching what the Bible says about Jews or about the LGBT or just really any unpopular topic. And so, you get banned and censored heavily. It's really hard. And I'm sure you guys for sure know that's, to the core. I mean, Alex was taken off YouTube, is one of the first personalities ever taken off YouTube. You guys had to go in some dark corner of the web and basically rebuild your entire platform and build a platform. And it's been harassed and tried to be taken from you guys. It's the same thing. Anybody that tries to say the truth will be attacked. Anybody that's speaking the truth will come under heavy, heavy attack and persecution. And the same with churches. That's why a lot of churches hide their sermons. They don't preach the Bible. They're afraid of certain topics. They don't want to change their doctrine. They don't want to see themselves have to go through any kind of adversity whatsoever. And, this is not a biblical aspect. The Apostle Paul, they said about him that he turned the world upside down with the gospel. You see, in the book of Acts, you see mobs and protests, and you see people being dragged out of the city and stoned and killed and thrown in prison. And, you have people like Owen Schroyer, who was thrown in prison. You have January 6th prisoners. You have just all kinds of, you have this weird lawsuit that y'all had, and they tried to strip away your business and try to say the Onion's now going to buy it and all this nonsense. Why is that stuff happening? It's because they don't want the truth out there. They don't want someone to speak what the Bible says. And of course, the ultimate truth is the Bible. The ultimate truth is the gospel. That's what our nation was founded on. That's why it was successful. And the powers that be don't want us to return to that. They don't want a revival. And a lot of pastors are cowards. They're afraid. Many pastors are not saved. The Bible teaches that there's many false prophets into the world. And so the false prophets, of course, are never going to tell the truth. But then even those that are actually saved and have the truth on their side, they've been lied to by Zionist propaganda. They've been lied to by dispensationalism. They're afraid of losing their building. They're afraid of losing money. They don't want to be evicted. They don't want to be protested. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness and he didn't have any money. And I think because of covetousness, I think because of pride, I think because people don't want to work, they're lazy, that you see a lot of pastors, a lot of Christians making Christianity look lame, look bad. They're now putting roller coasters in their services. Right. They're jumping on trampolines. They're playing basketball for the service. They're watching movies. They're doing anything but preach the Bible. And it's a shame. It's embarrassing. You see a lot of people trying to go back to some older religions because they're just so disillusioned. I feel like people are more disillusioned with religion than ever before because of how many false prophets and liars there are. And to me, it's important to get out there, try to be public, try to, still reach people as much as I can, despite all of the censorship, because, I want people to see, hey, Christianity is still good. Church is still good. The Bible is still good. Jesus is still good. And, you got to fight. It's going to be a battle. Sometimes it's David versus Goliath, but you know what? David wasn't intimidated by that. He went out there. Think about how many children of Israel were there and they were unwilling to fight Goliath. Yeah. It took some small shepherd boy to say, you know what? Here, my Lord, send me. And, it took one guy to have the courage.
And that's key, isn't it? Is that how do you read the Bible and not come away with the idea that I'm going to have to possibly suffer and maybe die for this, but it's worth it. Like how – it's cowardice. It's really cowardice, I think, at the end of the day. I think these people know exactly what they're doing, and it's just it's easier, and they're scared of – even just scared of people not liking them. It is actual just – cowardice that's tearing us down from the inside. And I just completely agree with everything that you're saying. It's sort of a perfect setup for a clip I wanted to show you and have you respond to, because this guy, extremely popular evangelical pastor, John Hagee. And I think people are going to be hearing a lot more about this guy just because it's this ideology that's informing the military that's then, you know, deploying the army on the basis of these types of beliefs. And again, when you read the Bible, I don't even understand how you could possibly support what this guy's about to say. Let's go to Pastor, Evangelical Pastor John Hagee, and we'll get Pastor Jonathan Shelley's response on the other side. Let's watch.
The Bible proves that the Jewish people are the most unique people on the face of the earth. They are a chosen people. They are a covenant people. They are a cherished people. They are the apple of God's eye. The unchallengeable fact of the Bible is that Israel and the Jewish people are unique. Listen, Israel did not choose this uniqueness. God chose it for them. Listen to David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 17:20. It's one of the most powerful words in the scripture. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you. And who is like your people Israel? Listen, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people. Chosen and still cherished. Deuteronomy 7:6, for you, Israel, are a chosen people, a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. Listen to this next sentence. A special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. That includes the United States of America.
Okay, so to me, that is completely insane. I mean, even just the most cursory reading of the Old Testament, God may have chosen the Jewish people, but he often gets mad and punishes them for failing to uphold their end of the bargain. Like the idea that they're God's special little treasures that can never do any wrong. It's like, where is he even getting that? Like, where is this even coming from? That's what I don't understand.
You kind of have to wonder how much this guy's getting paid, like $7,000 a sermon or what. But, you know, specifically, you can't just carte blanche, just take a positive statement about Israel in the Old Testament and then just apply that to Harvey Weinstein or Adam Sandler or whoever you want, you know, Sarah Silverman or something. Like, that's just, you know, God's not a racist. The Bible's really clear that God's not a respecter of persons consistently throughout the Bible. Plus, the verses he's quoting in the Old Testament about them being chosen and special is actually quoted in the New Testament as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So all of those prophecies about, quote, Israel are still true today if we define Israel correctly. But the Bible says in Romans chapter number 9, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel, meaning there's a difference between a physical Israel and a spiritual Israel. And just because you were of the nation of Israel did not mean you were saved, did not mean you were the child of God. You had to have your faith in Jesus Christ to be chosen, to be a child of God. And in the New Testament, Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. They are the elect. They are the true Jews, according to Romans chapter number 2.
It's pretty
explicit. The Bible makes it clear that it's not about an ethnicity. It's not about a nation. It's not about a race. God's not just picking some random race of people that are bank lenders and money usurers and pornographers and just said, you guys are special no matter what. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, in Europe, all the guys that are coin clipping and charging interest are just magically special, and all the Christians with the Bibles are somehow bad. Like, you know, what kind of bizarre logic is this? Of course, in Europe, you know, this belief didn't really exist for hundreds of years. It's only now in America where we've seen this rise of Zionist belief again, where we see this propaganda. And, you know, someone like John Hagee's a false prophet. He's a false teacher. He's obviously being funded and paid, you know, some kind of money or some kind of compensation by Israel lobbies and stuff to say these things. And look at all the seals happy to clap for it. I mean, unfortunately, the boomer generation has hook, line, and sinker fallen for this lie, and they like this lie, and they just want to hear this lie for some reason. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a shame on any group of people that just accept lies. You know, how does 9/11 happen and no one really cared? it's obvious that Building 7 doesn't just collapse on itself when nothing even hit it, you know, and this, like, who did that? What happened? Why did we go to war in the Middle East? But it, look, if they can get away with 9/11 and they can do a war for years and no one's really even caring or asking questions, but, you know, then I think they realize we can literally get away with anything. And what needs to happen is Christians need to get back in the pulpit and preach what the Bible says on these issues and destroy the false doctrine of Zionism.
Yeah. And so how do you think we combat this? Because, you know, I'm sure you've run up against it. If you've ever had a conversation of somebody who believes the type of stuff John Hagee does, I mean, it's like arguing with a brick wall, and they say the most insane stuff, and as if it's fine. You know, there's like, yeah, we'll just nuke all of them and kill them. And you go, you think Jesus wants us to do that? And they'll respond with, God works in mysterious ways. And it's like, no, God does not. He doesn't tell you to nuke somebody because it's actually secretly a virtue. It's like, should we try to reason with them on their own ground and go, look, you think this is the apocalypse, only lay out how the Revelations doesn't align with it. Is it better to say, hey, you know, look at the way this secular nation state is just hijacked. You're being betrayed by your church. Like, what is the correct approach? Because obviously the evangelical bloc in America is very powerful and they're pushing for this with all they've got. How do we combat this? So what's the best strategy, do you think?
It's definitely a difficult topic to address, because I don't think it's difficult to prove this. Generation Z is pretty much so anti-Israel now because it's just so obvious in the Bible. And the boomers, it doesn't matter how much proof or evidence you show them. It's like Trump saying the Epstein files is a hoax. It's like, okay, well, obviously this guy's not being sincere at this point. I think what you have to do is you have to have networks and platforms that are willing to say this and just keep saying it. Because here's the problem. You have someone kind of get out there and say something and they just get attacked and destroyed, and then everybody shuts up again. It can't go mainstream. You can't get the traction. And without popular sentiment, it's kind of an issue. I feel like it's already dead. Personally, I think that's why we even bombed Iran, because I think that they needed an excuse to go ahead and start the war, because Democrats don't start wars. Typically, we really see the Republican Party kind of starting the war, but Democrats have no problem continuing that war effort. So I almost felt like this was just their last chance to basically have the boomers all on their side. Yep. Republicans bomb them, and then just let Democrats just continue this war for who knows how long. Just like the war in Iraq. Who started that? Oh yeah, Bush, who, you know, drop, obviously, September 11th, you have this huge thing happen during the Republican push, so you can then push a war effort. I think they know what they're doing. I think they put Republicans in office so they can start wars, and they put Democrats in office so they can basically push more degeneracy on our culture, and it's just a 1-2 punch that Satan's constantly pushing.
They can welcome refugees from the war that the Republicans start.
Yeah, harm our economy so much and just steal more money through inflation and printing money and just degeneracy, corruption. They basically line all their pockets so that they can just fund the next election or whatever they need to do. There's a huge rot here, and it's not so simple as like, hey, just show them these few Bible verses. Look, if you show somebody a few Bible verses on this, they either get it or they don't, and there's not really much you can do outside of that. To me, there's just needs to be brave leaders that are going to say what's true on this and not back down. And not only not back down, but not be a scumbag and get caught, you know, doing some shady thing and get taken out of the picture. You know, you need some righteous people to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. This isn't what the Bible teaches, and just put the pressure on the other team. I think it's just more about pressure than it is the truth, because the Bible speaks for itself on this issue. No one is convinced of this lie anymore. Boomers are unwilling to hear in many cases. But I say that, you know, honestly, I have a lot of people in my church that are young, and they keep telling me one by one. They're like, hey, my parents are finally waking up on this issue. Right. Hey, my parents are finally questioning this. And, you know, a lot of times it's because, oh, Alex said this, or right, InfoWars said this, or, you know, even from sources that I'm not personally a fan of, but like people like Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens and all these other people, just the fact that it's being talked about wakes up some of the normies. And so to me, it's more about the exposure than it is the argument. I think the arguments are easy to win people over. It's just about people applying consistent pressure and having good talking points and getting the right people out there. I mean, there's a reason why I'm on a show today. There's a reason why I have a podcast. I think that we need somebody out there saying this stuff. It's frustrating that we don't see more people trying to say it.
And there's a reason why Tucker Carlson is the target of their ire right now, because he's respectable. He's a family man, as you point out. I mean, they're happy to, you know, have somebody be against them that's actually secretly degenerate, and they can ruin his reputation and thereby destroy the arguments he was making. With somebody like Tucker Carlson, you can't do that as much. And I think you're right about, you know, it's really just, even if churches want to do it purely cynically because it will get more people in the doors, there's a reason that young people are going to Orthodoxy or to Catholicism and not Protestantism, because Protestantism keeps trying to change with the times. And nobody who really cares and actually believes in God wants to go to a church with a rainbow on the door. It is literally a slap in God's face, where God basically said, I'll never, I punished you once for your sexual degeneracy. I'm sorry I had to do that. I feel bad about it. I'll never do it again. And so they take the symbol of that and wear it, just be like, remember how you can't do anything to us? Remember how you promised not to do anything? It's like,
yeah, it's the ultimate middle finger.
God, it's just, and anybody who understands that, that's not a real church. It's something else. It's Satanism in disguise.
It's conquered.
It's
conquered.
Just saying it powerfully and coming out and saying the truth will get more people. And the more people that go to the churches who tell the truth, the more churches you'll see tell the truth. I mean, this isn't going to happen overnight. It does need to be an incremental and sort of just continuous effort from us.
Yeah, and of course, I think the spiritual battle is also raging simultaneously, getting people saved, getting people to start reading the Bible again. You know, this nation was built on the Bible. And if our country doesn't have people start reading the Bible again, doesn't get back to the King James Bible, doesn't actually get saved, none of the other stuff matters. Politics is downstream of culture. And if we don't change the culture, if we don't wake up the masses, if we don't get people to start caring again, you know, what are they going to go watch Bad Bunny speak in a foreign language at the halftime show? You know, how is that going to fix anything in our country? You know, it's bread and circuses all over again. It's kind of shameful. You kind of have to wonder, how far does America have to fall before they start caring again? I think some people do care, and I think there's a lot of people seeking right now, but we need even more. And we need people to get serious about preaching the gospel, getting people saved, saying what's true, saying what's right. If you're a boomer out there, hey, it's time to change and wake up and kind of reject some of the lies that you've been told. And, you know, it is sad to see churches conquered by the rainbow flag, conquered by false religion, conquered by false prophets coming in and lying and basically just disgracing the cause of Christ. And so we need more good men to get into churches, to take Christianity serious. I think being a pastor is probably the most important job in the world. And we need pastors to get up and preach the Bible unapologetically, to have confidence to say what the Bible says. And, you know, it's funny. They always try to take the weirdest person and present them as the right view. So it's like, you're against the LGBT. Who do they say you are? You're Westboro Baptist, a bunch of weirdos and freaks who go protest someone's funeral or something. It's like, hey, you're against the Jews. Who are you? Oh, you're Kanye West, who's wearing a ski mask and holding up a net and, you know, with a Yahoo and just kind of like really provocative. Now, again, I think that Kanye woke up a lot of people on that issue, but at the end of the day, it's like, aren't they trying to pick on purpose kind of the weirdest person saying this to try and make that idea seem like a bad idea, demonize the idea through the person saying it? We need some normal people too. We need some just average people. I like that InfoWars gives a voice to the people. I mean, you constantly have callers coming in, average people. We need more of those. And we need those people talking to their friends, neighbors, going to their churches. You know, my friend, Pastor Steven Anderson, made a movie, Marching to Zion. It's really impactful, helps a lot of people kind of realize the truth on this particular issue. So, you know, I'd highly recommend, you know, people getting into a good church, becoming a Baptist, getting a King James Bible, preaching through. Yeah, there's Kanye. Look, I'm not even against Kanye, but I'm just saying, like, wasn't this one of the weirdest interviews ever?
I'll tell you, it was weird having the Prime Minister of Israel in our office. That was a real shock. Old Netanyahu. He was ahead of the curve on that, wasn't he? No, you're exactly right. And this is the thing that I think InfoWars just dialed down into and established early on, and we've stuck with the whole time, which is that you don't go to the extremes. You stick with the founding fathers. You stick with just traditional Christianity, because that's also a strategy of sort of The people who do wake up to like what Israel's up to and maybe the negative influence of Jewish people in this country, they go from 0 to 100, and they might be talking to a normie who's like, I don't know, I thought Israel was our allies. And they're like, but do you know the Holocaust didn't happen? And it's like, guys, you got to calm down. I'm not even saying like lie about stuff. I'm just saying like the argument, my true beliefs is that I love the Jewish people. I love the people of Israel. I think they're in a self-destructive spiral right now that I wish they'd wake up from. And I don't like a lot of the influence and subversion in America, a lot of which is predicated on, by their own admission, Jewish people, you know, spreading their beliefs. That's my First Amendment right to make that argument. And I do it out of love for both the Jewish people and my country and America and our values. And I feel like we have to be able to make that argument without falling into the dichotomy of you either want all the Muslims to die and Jews reign supreme, or you want all the Jews to die because you're a Nazi. It's like, guys, how about we want war to stop? We love the Jews, but that doesn't mean that we are Jewish or that we have to believe the same morality as them. We're a different religion with different values. So, I mean, do you take that into account? Like, how do you make the arguments in a way that will actually appeal to the decent, lovely people of America who don't want to be hateful and don't want to be biased? And so they won't be, and they'll reject you if that's how you seem.
Yeah, again, I agree with you. We need more people that have a reasonable approach. I think that's why they don't like Tucker, because he's usually not even saying anything too extreme. He's just saying, like, is Israel just always right? You know, and he just laughs or whatever. And it's just like, at least it's kind of like a good question, as opposed to, you know, going to this extreme of like Hitler was always right. Hitler never made a mistake. You know, or the other side of the equation, like you said, just bomb everybody in the Middle East. All Muslims are just literally Satan. And so like you have all these extreme opinions. You need some people to put out a coherent argument. I don't like, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. 9/11 was an inside job. It's obvious. There's a lot of other issues. Obviously, JFK, you have questions about the Titanic. You have the Federal Reserve. There's a lot of crazy things going on. The Epstein files. Jeffrey Epstein obviously didn't off himself. So obviously, there's a lot of questions. But then people kind of bring in a lot of weird stuff, too. And I'm like, even if you believe the weird stuff, just keep it to yourself for a few minutes. Not and let's helping. Talk about the reasonable stuff. And again, if you want to dive into that on your own and get excited about it, sure. But I think on these issues, we need to find a reasonable approach. We need to focus on the things that are really important here. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, hey, Christ is what the Bible is about. It's not about just a bunch of big-nosed bankers, you know, that God just gives a carte blanche blank check to.
Yeah. And by the way, it's their own distance from Christ that's causing them all the problems. It's their lack of brotherly love. Again, we could go on and on about this. I love it. We're going to have you back again soon. Pastor Jonathan Shelley, BaptistBias.com, SBCKJV.com, pastor of Steadfast Baptist Church. Long, long overdue that American Christian preachers actually do the work that Christian preachers should be doing.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAltraStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.